All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is our final mock draft Monday of the offseason, where I will not only be predicting who I think the Falcons will take in round one, but who all 32 picks in round one will be.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter, at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family. And today's episode of Locked On Falcons is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is where the game starts. So today is our final mock draft Monday, as we are only, 4 days away from the 2022 NFL draft. And as I did 2 years ago, didn't do it last year, but 2 years ago on this final mock draft Monday, I'm giving you my semifinal projection for what I think the first round will wind up being. I think in 2020, I gave it, it was pretty much final, except for I had CJ Henderson instead of AJ Terrell, because I was kind of waiting and seeing until we got to like Wednesday before I unveiled my, you know, official prediction that AJ Terrell would be that 16th overall selection. Last year, we didn't really do it because we knew it was kind of down to two picks or whatever the circumstances are. But this year, I'm going to try to my best to give you what I kind of sitting here today, Sunday afternoon slash evening, as I'm recording this, of what I think the final 32 picks will be in the first round. But, you know, this year is going to be a weird year. And basically, if like five of these projections are correct, I'll be happy, right? You know, like a good mock draft, typically it's going to get like 8 to 10 right max. So if I can get five right, I'll be like, man, I killed it this year, especially with how unpredictable this year's draft is going to be. And, you know, obviously I'll give you who I think the Falcons are going to take at 8. And there's also a possibility, I won't spoil it, but there's a possibility that the Falcons may trade up into the end of round one to take another player. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. So, you know, make sure you tune in for the entirety of the episode. But without further ado, and we'll jump into it right now. And for those of you guys that do not make Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day on YouTube, and instead just listen to the audio version of the podcast, free and available on a variety of podcast platforms like Apple, Odyssey, Google, and Spotify. You know, today's another good day to finally check out the video version of the podcast. Not only do you get the video version of the podcast the night before, so, you know, if you're listening to this on Monday, you could have watched this on Sunday evening on YouTube. But, you know, today, you know, I have the Draft Network use their mock draft simulator to exercise some trades in today's thing. And so there will be a visual element of today's episode. So I list the picks. So again, just reason number 412, why you should subscribe to the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel. So without further ado, let's throw that first graphic up there. And I have with the number one pick, Trayvon Walker, Georgia edge rusher. Number two pick, Aiden Hutchinson, the Michigan edge rusher. And these two, you could just easily flip-flop. I have no idea who's going to be the number one pick, which is a weird thing. It's been a while since we've been this late in the process and not convinced that we know who the number one pick is going to be. So you could flip these two and it would be just as likely. I think they're going to be the first two players off the board. Number three, there's been growing buzz that, you know, Houston wants a corner and Ahmad Gardner makes the most sense to me. Number four, I have the Jets taking Kayvon Thibodeau. I could certainly see a world where Thibodeau falls past this point, but there seems to be enough rumors and buzz that, you know, the Jets will be willing to pull the trigger on Thibodeau at four. Number five, I have the Giants taking the top offensive tackle off the board in Ike Ekwonu. That leaves Evan Neal to fall to the Carolina Panthers at pick number six. The Giants, they don't get Sauce Gardner. like they want, but they still get Derek Stingley, one of the top corners in this year's draft. And then we have the Falcons taking Jermaine Johnson, the edge rusher out of Florida, and rounding out the top nine. We have the Seattle Seahawks taking Charles Cross, the offensive tackle from Mississippi State. And as we continue today's episode, I will go deeper into sort of my methodology for determining Jermaine Johnson as the pick here at eighth overall selection before we continue the rest of today's episode. But before we get there, guys, I do want to plug that, you know, this week, the Locked On Podcast Network is going to have you guys covered for live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft. And they'll be hosting from their studios in Dallas with pick by pick analysis from the local experts, including myself, as well as various draft gurus. So tune in for all 3 days of live coverage beginning Thursday night, April 28th at 7 p.m. on the Locked On NFL YouTube channel, as well as the Odyssey app. So guys, I also want to tell you about a product that I've begun taking every day for the last several months, and that is AG1 from Athletic Greens. It's like a multivitamin that you don't have to take a million different pills. All you need is one scoop of AG1 with a cup of water first thing in the morning, and your day starts off right. And included in AG1 is 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens, all in a special blend of ingredients that improve your gut health, nervous system, immune system, boost energy, recovery, and focus throughout the day. So you too can reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition with AG1. And making it easy for you to stock up on AG1 is Athletic Greens is going to give you a free year-long supply of immune-supporting vitamin D, as well as 5 free travel packs of AG1 with your first purchase. So when you're on the go, you can still hit up that AG1 first thing in the morning. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. So let's move on to picks. Oh, before we move on to picks 10 through 18, let's talk a little bit more about the Falcons selection and why I had them going Jermaine Johnson. I think Jermaine Johnson is one of 5 players that I could certainly see if I was going to place bets on who the Falcons pick at 8 would be. He would be one of the 5. Malika Willis is one of the other ones. Kayvon Thibodeau is another. Jordan Davis is another. And Kyle Hamilton is the 5th of that group. I would probably put the most amount of money on Malika Willis and Jermaine Johnson, in part due to, you know, Thibodeau not being here in this version of the mock. But also because I do think because of the questionable personality concerns, I guess you can call them, with Thibodeau, I don't know if he's going to be the Falcons' cup of tea. I would certainly think in a world where Trayvon Walker, Ikem Ekwonu, or Evan Neal fell to the Falcons at 8, they would probably leapfrog to the top of that list. But I don't think there's very likely that we're living in that world. And probably it would be in that order in terms of priority that those guys would be put, Walker, Ekwonu, and Neal. Kyle Hamilton's interesting because he's a player that we have not spent that much energy talking about. I figured earlier this offseason, I'll get to Kyle Hamilton at some point in April. And circumstances just never really led to a deeper dive on him. And because of that, he's gotten sort of the short end of the stick in terms of this pre-draft talk. So that probably means that he will wind up being the Falcons pick, as it usually goes with that. But if he was the pick, it makes sense because he certainly fits the best player available argument, given that, you know, a lot of consensus boards. I know Arif Hassan has put together one over at The Athletic, and I think Kyle Hamilton's number 2 on that board. He's a local product as well from the Atlanta area. It makes a lot of sense for the Falcons to go in that direction if that is the direction they want to go to. But I still kind of remain skeptical that the Falcons will pull the trigger on Kyle Hamilton, in part due to I don't know if the team wants to go back-to-back drafts using a top 10 pick on a non-premium position like tight end last year and safety this year. I do think that the team wants to see what they have with Richie Grant, and drafting Hamilton could, you know, throw a wrench into that plan. And I was discussing this on an episode of Falcoholic Live last week with Kevin Knight, which is I kind of think if you're going to draft Kyle Hamilton this high, you have to draft him with the intents and purposes of building your defense around him and making him the sort of the centerpiece of this defense. And it's not to sit here and say that I don't think Dean Pease is capable of doing that. I just don't necessarily know if that's choice that the Falcons are willing to make. You know, like if they're just going to use Kyle Hamilton like you would use any other safety and not have him line up in the box, not have him be this sort of dime linebacker and use him all over the place again. Again, I think DNP's defense would allow for that to happen. But unless you're fully committed to as an organization, I just don't see how you can necessarily justify using this high a pick on a safety if you're not willing to do that. But again, he could certainly be the pick, and we'll just sort of see. Again, if he is the pick, it will just basically boil down to best player available, and hopefully the Falcons will then decide to build their defense around him. But, you know, I still remain a believer that this team is looking to energize their fan base, and I certainly think a quarterback does that. As I've said several times on the podcast, my hope is that the Falcons won't reach on a quarterback at 8. But as I've said before, you know, I've made peace with it over the last couple of weeks, and I understand if they do choose to do that. You'll notice that I did not mention any wide receivers among the 5 players that I could see the Falcons taking at 8, because I just cannot fathom a world where the Falcons are going to take a wide receiver at 8. You know, and that's just not my personal bias. I just can't imagine. You know, I don't know. It probably is my personal bias, but like, it's just hard for me to imagine this team taking a wide receiver, you know, that high when they have nothing else on the roster. So, you know, when it comes to these 5 players, Willis, Johnson, Thibodeau, Davis, and Hamilton, and I know the inevitable questions are always going to be, Aaron, which one of these guys would you prefer? You know, who would get you most excited? Like, to be honest with you, like, I don't think any of those picks would be bad picks, nor do I think any of those picks are like home run slam dunks and whatnot. You know, I don't think there are slam dunk players in the draft, or at least in this year's draft especially. And, you know, it's harder for me to get hyped for draft picks. Because essentially, and we'll probably explore this a little bit deeper as the week unfolds, but like, to me, it's less about one individual pick and one individual player and more about the collective. Like, what will get me excited about this year's draft is not one pick. It's, you know, the Falcons walking away from this draft with like 4 or more quality starters that I would feel really good about. Like, these guys are going to be, you know, real foundational pieces for this team for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. In last year's draft, I only really came away thinking about that about 2 of their picks, with Pitts and Grant. And so, like, I really need to see this draft. To me, what's at stake with this draft is they need to come away with like 4, at least 4 of those guys, in my opinion, to really feel good about this draft. So this 8th overall selection, to me, is just basically 25% solving 25% of the problem, right? So it's like, to me, give me the 4 guys that we're going to get in the first, you know, 3 or 4 rounds that are going to be difference makers for this football team, not just one player and putting it all on that one particular prospect. But that being said, we'll move on from the Falcons pick and we'll get through the rest of the middle portion of round 1. And with number 10, I had the first wide receiver off the board in Alabama wide receiver Jameis Williams. It's just been too much buzz recently that he's going to be the first wide receiver taken. So I had the Jets taking him at 10. At 11, I do have Kyle Hamilton falling to the Commanders at that spot. 12, I have Minnesota taking Georgia monster defensive tackle Jordan Davis. Then I have the Chargers trading up from 17 to 13 with the Houston Texans to get Trevor Penning, the Northern Iowa offensive tackle. In this trade, I had the Chargers giving up a 3rd-round pick and getting back a 6th-round pick from Houston. And then after they take Penning, and basically in this scenario, I imagine Baltimore's hoping that Davis or Penning falls to them at 14. Since they did not, they're looking to move back, as they often do. And I have them trading back from 14 to 19 with the New Orleans Saints, who trade up for Liberty quarterback Malik Willis here at the 14th spot. The Saints give up a 3rd-round pick to move up 5 spots from their 2nd of 2 first-round picks. And, you know, if Willis does fall out of the top 10, which I think is probably likelier than some people on the internet and draft Twitter and whatnot would lead you to believe, I feel like this 12 to 15 range is probably where someone will go and get him at that point in time. And I feel like the Saints, of the teams left on the board, will probably be the most aggressive to pursue Malik Willis at this point in time. So 15, I have the next wide receiver off the board in Garrett Wilson. Then I have the Saints taking his teammate Chris Olave at 16, 17 with the pick they got from the Chargers. Houston, quote unquote, settles for Utah linebacker Devin Lloyd. And then 18th pick, I have the Eagles taking Purdue edge rusher George Karlaftis with that pick. And we will continue today's episode rounding out round one. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, the decent chance that the Falcons are still going to have an opportunity to get back on the board despite already selecting their pass rusher of the future and Jermaine Johnson at pick 8. So certainly want to stay tuned if you're already looking to tune out of today's episode because you think it's only about the Falcons at 8. But we'll get into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast. But before we get there, guys, I do want to plug the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, as I do often on this show, with Locked On Falcons, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Bulldogs, Locked On Braves, all part of that family, giving you all the local coverage that you need about Atlanta and Georgia sports. And you can find three shows on the Locked On Sports Atlanta feed: A to Z with Mark Zeno, Hitting Hard with John Chuckery, and ATL Day Ones with Jarvis Davis and Tanitra Batiste. And they are all covering all of Atlanta sports, all of Georgia sports. And you can find all three shows on the same feed, Locked On Sports Atlanta, free and available on the same podcast platforms you're listening to Locked On Falcons, as well watching on YouTube. So guys, I want to tell you about the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. And of course, it's even better than a candy bar because not only are Built Bars tasty, they also are good for you. They're low in sugar, low in calories, low in carbs, high in protein, high in fiber. And if you head on over to the website at built.com right now, you can find two flavors on sale. That's the mint marshmallow flavor as well as the blueberry muffin flavor. Mint marshmallow are one of their puff flavors. The first protein infused marshmallow and blueberry muffin is much healthier thing to wake up to in the morning than your typical blueberry muffin. Like all Built Bars, mint marshmallow, blueberry muffin are covered in 100% real chocolate, just like banana cream pie is, churro puff, double chocolate, raspberry, cherry barcia, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, cookies and cream, as well as coconut almond, and much, much more. You can try a mix box or build your own box by heading over to built.com. And when you do, use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com. So let's close out round one with pick 19. Within the pick they got from the Saints, I have the Ravens taking Washington cornerback Trent McDuffie. Kenny Pickett falls to Pitt, doesn't leave town at pick 20 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. 21, I have the Patriots taking their big monster nose tackle in Travis Jones out of UConn. 22, Green Bay goes for Drake London, the USC wide receiver. 23, I have Arizona taking Boston College guard Zion Johnson. 24, I have Dallas taking Iowa center Tyler Linderbaum. 25, I have Buffalo taking Trent McDuffie's teammate in cornerback Kyler Gordon. 26, Tennessee takes Bernhard Raimann out of Central Michigan, the offensive tackle. The run on offensive lineman continues at pick 27, where Tampa Bay takes Texas A&M guard Kenyon Green. 28, I have Georgia linebacker N'Kobe Dean going to the Green Bay Packers. 29, I have Kansas City snatching up Treylon Burks, the Arkansas wide receiver, and then coming back-to-back with Georgia defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt at pick 30. Let me actually put those up on the screen. 31, I have Cincinnati taking Michigan safety Daxon Hill. And here is the curveball for you guys. I have the Atlanta Falcons trading back into round one with the Detroit Lions at pick 32 to take Cincinnati quarterback Desmond Ridder. What's funny enough is when I was using the mock draft simulator over at the Draft Network, they refused, basically Atlanta refused to make a trade unless I basically gave them more value to move back. But I had to basically fix the machine to a certain extent. And ultimately, I didn't give this up in the trade in the mock draft simulator. But in reality, I would think that Falcons would give up their second, which is pick 43, their second of the 2/3 that they got, which they got from the Colts, pick 82. You got to have that, you know, synergy. When you get a pick for trading Matt Ryan, you got to give up that pick to go get your quarterback. And then I think they need to get back, like, I don't know, like a 2023 fifth, the Falcons, that is, to make the trade work, or whatever the case may be, to add up all the points or something like that. So get back a late round pick in next year's draft, or potentially a late round pick in this year's draft. But, you know, the mock draft simulator wasn't having it unless I gave up like a 2023 fourth or something like that. So Desmond Ridder, we've been talking, you know, for a while now that he makes a lot of sense. He's a great scheme fit. The reason why the Falcons would go get their quarterback, you want to get that fifth year option. I do really think, going back to the conversation we had earlier today's episode, that the Falcons want to walk away from this draft with the quarterback of the future. I'm skeptical that this team is going to wait till next year and go after CJ Stroud or Bryce Young or whoever's at the top of next year's draft. Now, personally, you know, my strategy would probably revolve around that. And I would, if I was running the Falcons war room, I would probably be content to wait and see if someone like a Sam Howell or Carson Strong fell to them at 58 or 74 or 82 or whatever the case may be, rather than, you know, going and getting a quarterback. That would be my personal strategy involved. And I would, you know, essentially try to get a quarterback somewhere in the middle rounds this year to give you at least a decent backup. And then hopefully, you know, everything comes to fruition next year with the quarterback at the top of the draft or whatever the case may be. That would be my preferred strategy. But as I've said a number of times over the last couple of weeks, you know, it's hard for me to imagine this team going all in on Deshaun Watson and then now being patient when it comes to the quarterback situation. Like, they weren't very patient when it came to going after Deshaun Watson. And I don't expect them to suddenly just be like, oh, well, we're going to be patient. We'll wait for CJ Stroud. Those two actions just don't compute with me. Like, they don't necessarily mix to me. So if you're going to be aggressive going into Deshaun Watson, I would expect you to be aggressive going for somebody else. And in this case, that's Desmond Ridder. And I think, you know, if he falls past a certain point in round one, I do think the Falcons going to be aggressive to try to go get him. Of course, obviously, this is part of the reason why, you know, that notion of the Falcons not being patient and waiting for a quarterback is part of the reason why I kind of think they'll potentially take a quarterback at eight, because this strategy is, you know, you're basically not in control. You're not controlling your destiny at this point in time. Like, you know, you are, you don't necessarily know, but you know, like, you have a little bit more control over which quarterback you can get at eight if you take that guy at eight, versus hoping that your guy falls past a certain point in the draft so that you can go trade up and get him in the draft. But this is, to me, you know, I think a viable option for the Falcons. Again, I think Desmond Ridder, if he falls past a certain point, they'll go get him. I do not expect, you know, Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett to fall that far. And if Desmond Ridder doesn't fall that far, again, there's a lot of rumors that he could go somewhere in the middle of the first round, somewhere around pick 16, where the Saints are picking, somewhere around pick 20, where the Steelers are picking. Then I think the Falcons will just wind up settling for Sam Howell or whoever's there in the end of round two, around pick 58 or beginning of round three at pick 74 as their quarterback option. And that's certainly a viable option. But again, I just feel like this team is in a position where they want to go find their quarterback of the future this year and sort of start that process now, as opposed to waiting a year and building up the rest of the roster. Although, again, that's what they said they originally wanted to do. So maybe they do go back to that plan and decide to wait another year. But again, that's what's so hard about figuring out this draft, is because the Falcons draft strategy or offseason plans or big picture strategy has been kind of all over the place this offseason. And, you know, we'll probably get a better idea of what their plan is, you know, after night one of this draft on Thursday night. And we'll just sort of see how that goes. But, you know, I don't know. This is just all, you know, throwing darts in the dark with this mock draft. So that's going to do it for us here, guys. Tomorrow's episode, we will be joined by Jarvis Davis of ATL Day Ones and Locked On Sports Atlanta. We'll probably get a little bit more in depth on sort of what's at stake for the Falcons in this upcoming draft with Jarvis. And then, of course, later on this week, you know, we'll see if we'll get another guest on before the draft on Wednesday's episode or whatever the case may be. And then, you know, Thursday, it'll probably just be me talking on any sort of recent developments. And then, of course, Friday, we'll just be reacting to what happens. Saturday, we'll be reacting to what happens on day two. And then, of course, Sunday, you'll be hearing my reaction to day three. And so, you know, I was joking with my brother when he was asking me, you know, is it a busy week coming up for you? And I'm like, yeah, I got 12 days of consecutive podcasts. This is the only time where you guys, you know, get this much content. And he was like, oh, it's like the 12 days of Christmas. And I was like, that's corny. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, it's the 12 days of Draftmas. So this is day one of the 12 days of Draftmas. So enjoy your mock draft, guys. We got 11 more days of premium draft content coming here on Locked On Falcons. I appreciate you for joining me. If you disagree on any of the things I had in my mock draft, you think I'm crazy, you think I'm a genius, of course, you can always provide your feedback by hitting me up on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, Facebook at Locked On Falcons. You can send an email to lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And of course, you can leave a comment here on the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel. And before we duck out of here, also want to plug the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. They also have a mock draft Monday today, as most of you are listening to this. So go check out Locked On NFL Draft, see what Ryan Tracy and Eric Crocker are doing on their final mock draft Monday of the offseason, and get their insights into all the things that will be happening on the draft and see where they differ from my projections and whatnot. So check out Locked On NFL Draft, free and available on all the same podcast platforms. You can find Locked On Falcons, Apple, Odyssey, Google, and Spotify, as well as on YouTube. Guys, appreciate it. Till then.